From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. And on this day, Maine's legislature continues its efforts to set up the system for marijuana retailing, and some in the State House look to make it harder to put a referendum on the ballot. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Some changes may be in store for Maine's public referendum process, which allows voters to make policy at the ballot box. Today, the Maine House gave approval to a measure that would ask voters to change the state constitution to raise the bar for getting those questions on the statewide ballot. Matt Leary has details.
The current language in the Constitution is over a century old. It requires the valid signatures of 10% of the voters in the previous election for governor to initiate legislation that lawmakers must either pass as proposed or send to the voters. In recent years, critics have argued that signatures can be more easily collected in the more populous counties than in rural areas of the state. This proposal would require that half the signatures be collected from each of the two congressional districts. Representative Bob DeShane, a Democrat from Hudson, supports the change.
We're going to be setting up this feeling in certain parts of the state that they're being railroaded by other parts of the state. That's not necessary. I think this amendment looks to get at that issue. This isn't much of a tool to grab some change in the geographic balance, but it's the least we can do.
Other measures to increase the overall number of signatures or to require the signatures be collected in each county have been defeated in the legislature. Representative Kent Ackley, an independent from Monmouth, says the current system is working. He says Maine voters see through petition campaigns brought by special interests.
If that were not true, Madam Speaker, Shady Sean would have his casino right now. We'd have Bloomberg's universal background check program, and PETA would have made it illegal to bait bears.
And Representative Janice Cooper, a Democrat from Yarmouth, also agrees that the current process is working. She says trying to limit where signatures can be collected is not the answer to concerns about special interests placing questions on the ballot.
Referendums are adopted or rejected on a statewide basis, so in the end, it really doesn't matter where the signatures came from.
Representative Ellie Espling, a Republican from New Gloucester, has introduced a similar amendment in past sessions that failed. She says the proposal deserves to go to the voters.
I think it's important that we allow this to go out to the people so that they can have an opportunity to chime in on what could be a change to their process, the process that is enshrined in the Constitution for them to use.
The Senate has yet to consider the proposal, but it was supported in the Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee by a 12-1 vote. It will take 2/3 vote of both the House and the Senate to finally send the proposal out to the voters. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
The legislature's second attempt to set up the market and regulatory system for the retail sale of recreational marijuana is already doing better than its first. The House voted 112-34 today to pass a major rewrite of the law that voters approved nearly 2 years ago in a public referendum. Additional votes are needed, but the margin in the House suggests the votes are there to override a potential veto by Republican Governor Paul LePage. Now, some legal cannabis advocates warn that efforts to broaden political support for the proposal could have negative consequences. Steve Missler has more.
For independent Representative Kent Ackley of Monmouth, the legislature's latest bid to create a legal market for cannabis could resolve what's been a 17-month legislative odyssey, marked by fits, starts, and so far, failure.
My hope is that every member in this body can go home at the end of this session with the ability to tell the voters in each of our districts that we finished the job that they started in November of 2016.
Ackley is part of the special committee that has spent more than a year attempting to create guidelines for the recreational market. Everything from determining who gets a license and setting tax rates to establishing labeling standards on packaging. The resulting bill, the committee's second, makes sweeping changes to the marijuana law voters ratified in 2016. It keeps the 10% retail sales tax, but adds an excise tax on wholesale transactions, a 20% effective rate that analysts predict could bring in over $16 million during the first full year of sales. It cuts in half the number of flowering plants a Maine adult can cultivate for personal use, from 6 plants to 3. It also eliminates cannabis social clubs, while also requiring cities and towns to take affirmative action to allow cultivation, wholesaling, and retail operations. And it includes significant modifications to last year's proposal, which also attempted to rewrite the voter-approved law, but ultimately failed after it was vetoed by the governor. Unlike last year's bill, there's no longer a provision that would have shared tax revenue with cities and towns, leaving some to question the viability of the legal market if most municipalities opt out with no financial incentive to participate. But those changes helped win over Republicans, like Assistant Minority Leader Ellie Espling of New Gloucester. Espling, like others in her caucus, oppose legal marijuana, but they also want strict regulations if it's going to be legal under state law.
I need this to be as strict and stringent as possible. I need real protections in this for my family, and I think Mainers are asking for that.
Espling was among over 50 Republicans who supported the bill on Tuesday. Only 4 voted for the last proposal, but the effort to court support from the GOP and bring closure to the tortured regulatory overhaul process has left some legal cannabis supporters worried.
My name is Susan Meehan. I live in Augusta, Maine, and I moved to Maine in 2013 for my daughter, Cindy May, to have access to the medical marijuana program.
Meehan moved to Maine from Connecticut because her daughter suffered from a rare form of epilepsy. Meehan's daughter died 2 years ago, but she says medical cannabis did for Cindy May what over 20 anti-epileptic drugs could not, controlled her seizures without the unresponsiveness and detachment caused by pharmaceuticals. But now Meehan and the group Maine Children for Cannabis Therapy worry about a provision in the recreational cannabis bill that moves oversight of the medical program to the agency that regulates alcohol sales. Meehan says states like Oregon have made similar moves, and it's affected the testing and availability for the highly specialized cannabis her daughter once needed.
Because they're not growing specifically to meet the needs of Kaylee or of Mitchell or of Danyon. They're growing to meet the recreational need and the high THC values that sell.
The medical marijuana oversight change was among several provisions that prompted no votes from longtime legal cannabis lawmakers like Representative Craig Hickman, a Democrat from Winthrop. During the floor debate, Hickman cited a slew of legal cannabis regulations that he supports.
And because I stand in support of all of those things and many more, I stand in opposition to the pending motion.
But for now, Hickman is among the minority of lawmakers who oppose the bill. It now moves to the Senate, which is expected to approve it. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The chief operating officer for the National Science Foundation has been tapped to lead the University of Maine's flagship campus in Orono. Joan Farini-Mundy will become UMaine's next president on July 1st when the current president, Susan Hunter, steps down from the post that she's held for the last 4 years. As A.J. Higgins reports, Farini-Mundy says she is eager to expand UMaine's research and development initiatives.
Joan Farini-Mundy made her public debut before an audience of students, faculty, and UMaine Board of Trustees who gathered at her morning press conference in Orono.
Wow, I can barely wait for July, when I will join you full time, and when presumably it will be warmer.
Farini-Mundy will also serve as president of the University of Maine at Machias as part of an arrangement reached last year with the Downeast campus. She is leaving the National Science Foundation, a federal agency with a nearly $8 billion operating budget that worked with 2,000 institutions last year to support the investigation and discovery of 359,000 researchers, teachers, and students. She says UMaine is home to its own research community, making discoveries that benefit the state, the nation, and the world.
Faculty whose teaching is inspiring new generations to excel and make a difference here in Maine and beyond. students who are innovators and leaders preparing to change the state and the world through their knowledge, skills, and passions. This is an exciting time to join UMaine and UMM and to be a part of shaping the future of this great state and beyond through public higher education.
Last year, the number of out-of-state students enrolled in the University of Maine system hit an all-time high after university officials stepped up recruiting efforts. Farini Munde says she is still learning about many of the challenges facing the flagship campus in its efforts to lure more students.
Well, enrollment is a very complicated and critical matter for the university. I don't yet at all have all the data and understand the patterns and system in place here, but certainly we'll look to understand what our foundation is and how to build from it and how to grow forward. At the same time, I think it's continuing. It's a crucial challenge to be sure that the students in the state of Maine also understand the great resources here and see the university as a potential place for them to further their education.
I met Joan in 2001 at Michigan State University, where we were both faculty in the Department of Mathematics, and she was the director of a center for math and science education.
Now a leader at UMaine's Mathematics Education Research Group, Natasha Spear is a math specialist who had hoped that she and Farini Monday's paths would cross again.
Eventually, she moved to NSF, and I moved here. And I knew how much she liked getting to visit New England, so I used that to lure her here to give a talk at a conference in 2010.
Farini Munde says she liked what she saw and that her new position will allow her to place new emphasis on current and emerging careers in the areas of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. James Irwin, chair of the UMS Board of Trustees, says the new president's areas of expertise make her a perfect fit for UMaine.
We are asking Dr. Farini Munde, as UMaine's new leader, to combine her skills as an executive and collaborator with her passion for mathematics education to help achieve our objective of stronger partnerships among Maine's public schools and better outcomes for students of all ages and aspirations.
Farini Munde plans to spend the remainder of the week meeting with faculty, students, and community leaders in Orono and Machias. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, April 10th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.